Amen. I want you to take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Say again. It's on the back of the bulletin if you want to learn or turn to some of these scriptures. And I wrote a little note to Pastor Paul. I said, I noticed there was a whole bunch of scriptures. I said, I'm going to refer to some of these. I'm not going to necessarily preach a message on every verse. How many of you know that we are at war? Well, some of you don't know that you're at war. Hallelujah. No, I'm just joking with you. We are in a war that we call spiritual war. We have an enemy, Satan. I don't want to give him more than he's due. But we have an enemy, Satan. But I like what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I've changed some words in there because he says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I like to say you, and whenever I'm talking about me, I like to make it personal. I have life, and I have that life more abundant. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. I like the old King James there. It says, casting down imaginations, because in our imagination, so often we see the attacks of the enemy. You know, I remember when my oldest son, Robert, got his driver's license and backed out of the driveway the first time and went down the street and turned the corner. I had some imaginations. You know, what could happen? What might happen? Some of you, as parents, you understand that. He made it back okay. He did not have a wreck when he went through the traffic lights. He made it back all right. But the imagination. And so he says, casting down, and I'm going to use that word, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are in spiritual warfare. That's something that God is not going to change. I'm sorry. If you want to go up and go in this life and say, well, God is going to change things, and I'm not going to have any more spiritual warfare in my life, you're just kidding yourself. Why? Because you have an enemy. And that enemy, Satan, has targeted you. You have this big red bullseye right here in the middle of everything, and he wants to destroy you, and he wants to take over in your life. That's a basic truth that we need to understand. However, as I said, we're not going to glorify the enemy. We're going to glorify God because God has given us spiritual weapons. Let me share some of your spiritual weapons with you. And that's where all of these verses that I sent to the pastor come in. We have the name of Jesus. And God wants us to understand the power of his name. You know, Jesus sent out 70 disciples in Luke chapter 10. He sent those disciples out, and he said, I want you to go into the cities around about, and I want you to do two things. First thing I want you to do is heal the sick. Now, Pastor, if I was going to send out a bunch of people, I'd tell them to go out and preach. Go out and testify. Go out and do. You know, he didn't do that. Jesus sort of knows how to do things and how to lead us. Sometimes he leads us to do that. But he said for the 70 to go out and first go into the villages round about, heal the sick. Why did he do that? He wanted to get their attention. You get somebody healed, you've got their attention. And you've got the attention of people around about them. And so he says, and tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near at hand. In other words, go heal them and then preach. Well, they went out and did it, and they came back. And they said this to Jesus. While we were out there, we discovered that as we, and I'm paraphrasing this, we discovered that when we heal the sick and we preach the gospel of the kingdom, that other things happen. Even demons were cast out. And then Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I tell you what, we have goofed up that verse in many, many ways over the years. And if you'll let me, I want to share something that I believe is true. I've heard so many preachers talk about how that Jesus back at the creation and back when Satan rebelled in heaven, that Jesus was talking about seeing Satan being cast out of heaven. Well, he did. He saw that. But I want to tell you, you and I live in two worlds at the same time. We live in the natural world that Sherry was talking about a few minutes ago. We live in the spiritual world. And both of those worlds are very, very real. And I believe this is what Jesus was saying to the disciples. Okay, guys, while you were out there healing the sick and while you were out there preaching the gospel of the kingdom, I observed what was going over in the heavenly realm, in that spiritual realm. I saw that as you healed and as you preached and as you cast out demons, that Satan was being cast down. And you know what? It's like this. How many of you ever get excited about anything? I mean, I get excited sometimes about football, I used to get more excited. In the last few years, I haven't hardly watched a game, but right now the Bucks, you know, and well, anyway, just because we live near Tampa. But I get excited about things sometimes. And so what has happened? These 70 disciples have come back with all of this excitement. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is what happened. This is what happened when we did this and we did that. And, you know, if Jesus was just talking about what he saw millions of years ago at the creation, it's like you coming running into the house, all excited about something, and your pastor says to you, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you what I've seen. It sort of lets all the air out, doesn't it? And so Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then he said, and behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that authority is in the name of Jesus. Mark 16. Mark is writing what Jesus had spoken. And he says, you know, my disciples are going to cast out demons. They're going to heal the sick. They're going to do all that in my name. And so God has given us that name. And I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to use the name of Jesus as a weapon against the enemy. What else do we have? We have the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, all the way down at verse 17, the Apostle Paul is talking about our covering, our armor in this battle that we find ourselves in. And he says, and we take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And that sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so we take the Word of God. The Word is like a weapon. You know, as a boy, my mother and dad used to pray with us children, and they would teach us scriptures. You know, John 3:16 and all the 23rd Psalm and all of those. And you know why they were doing that? They were implanting into our hearts and into our lives the truth of God's Word. And so knowing that we have an enemy, we need a weapon called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This Word that I'm having right now in my hand, this Word is powerful. It's sharper, the Scripture says, than any two-edged sword. And so we have the Word of God as a weapon. What else do we have? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, what does it say to us? In verse 10, it talks about the accuser of the brethren. What is the accuser? Who is the accuser? That's Satan. How does he accuse us? Well, according to that scripture, that he accuses us to God. Now, I have an imagination. I talked about the imagination a while ago with my son when he went out at 16 or 17, whatever it was, he got that driver's license and went around that corner. I have an imagination. So I have an imagination. And that Satan approaches God like he did with Job. He approaches God and he says, "You see Gene down there? Do you remember when he did this? And when he did that, when he did this other thing?" And so he's accusing. And do you know what he accuses us with? The law. He uses the law, the Old Testament law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, and then thou shalt do it. You know, just part of the law was not only the thou shalt not, it was thou shalt. Now, excuse my old English. But he accuses. You see, he did this, he did that. Do you know it's none of his stinking business? None of his stinking business. And so it says in verse 11, it says, "And they," talking about believers like you and me, "overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." You know, I use the blood as a weapon of warfare. I have a thing I call the confession of the blood. I've been using it for years. When the enemy starts jumping on my shoulders and whispering in my spiritual ear and telling me about all the things that I've done wrong in my life, I say, "Devil, it's under the blood. Now bug off." You know, I have no, and I hope you understand this, I have no sense of guilt. Now, if I do something, yes, I have a sense of guilt. I did that. But I go to God. I confess it. I receive his forgiveness. And from that point on, it's under the blood of Jesus. And I don't go back and take that blood and pull it back like somebody has put the dirt under the carpet. I don't go back and look at it. I say, "Devil, that happened, yes. You're right. It was there. I did it. But it ain't none of your business because it's under the blood of Jesus." I've learned to walk in forgiveness. I've learned to walk in that redemption that God has given me. And God wants us to understand that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and those things are under the blood. And it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." You have a testimony. You see, the blood is a weapon. The word is a weapon. The name of Jesus is a weapon. But do you have a testimony? Have you ever thought about the fact that your testimony is a weapon against the enemy? You see, your testimony is the record of what God has done in your life. And so when the enemy begins to say, "I'm going to do that again in your life," I come back and I say, "You tried that already, devil, and here's what God did. Now listen." Now, you say, "Well, how do you do that?" I was born 77 years ago with a major problem with my stomach. I was born already with an infection in my stomach, and that was because of a problem in my birth. And as a result of that, I grew up with ulcers. All from that infection. I had ulcers all my life up until I was 23 years of age. And at 23, Sherry and I were already married. Doctor said to me, he said, "There's only one thing we can do to help you. We're going to have to remove your stomach surgically." Well, I weighed about 230 pounds. I'm close to that today. Not quite there. Maybe 220 or something like that. But here I was with ulcers, hurting all the time, having to take Demerol and other drugs for the pain. And the doctor said, "The only thing I can do is remove your stomach surgically." So that's what they did. At 23 years of age, my stomach was removed surgically. I lost from 230 down to 140 pounds. The next 6 years, I was skin and bones. 140 pounds. I didn't have pain in my stomach, no. But I didn't have a stomach. I used to eat 5 or 6 times a day, just little small portions, because where they tied my esophagus and my small intestine together, it made a little pocket. And that's how I lived. 1973, something happened. 1973, I was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Greensburg, Louisiana. Boy, that sounds important, doesn't it? First Baptist Church. We had 3 3-way stops in town, and that was it. And it was the parish seat, or like the county seat we have here in Florida, but we were in Louisiana. And I was pastor of that church. Now, I want to tell you, and I don't mean this to be critical, but I'm going to tell you the way it was. That was Old South politics in 1973, and there wasn't but one party in Louisiana at that time, and it was a Democratic Party, and it was split because here was deacons on this side and deacons on this side, and they hated each other because of the politics. And I'd stand there and say, God, there's got to be more than this. I mean, you know, I've been in ministry since I was 15. I started preaching when I was 15 years old. And I'd been pastoring for a number of years, and here I'm pastor of that church now. And I got desperate. Started reading the book of Acts. And it went from verse to verse to verse to verse, and I saw this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I knew about it, but we said it wasn't for today. Some of you grew up in the same type of situations where people said, it wasn't for today, it's not for you, that was for the early church, just to get things started. And so anyway, we got baptized in the Holy Spirit on March the 10th, 1973. Sherry and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. And we started seeing miracles and healings. I was in a meeting July 1973 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I wasn't preaching. I was sitting on about the third row. Man was giving a message of faith. And right in the middle of his message, he stopped, and this is what he said. He said, somebody's getting a miracle right now, a big miracle. Well, he wasn't talking about me. But there was a man in that church that everybody knew. He was one of the members that joined when there was only 15 people in that brand new church. And here, 10 years later, they were having their anniversary and a missions conference, and he was a janitor standing at the back, but he couldn't talk. 17 years before, he'd been in surgery on his throat. They didn't give him enough anesthetic. So while he was opened up, he moved, and his vocal cords had been severed in an accident of surgery. For 17 years, that man had not been able to speak. When that man preaching the gospel that night said, somebody's getting a miracle right now, a big miracle, everybody got quiet. And from the back of that auditorium, we heard a voice. It's me, I can talk. It was that man. God had restored his voice, restored his vocal cords. I want to tell you, the preacher never finished the message that day. He just began to watch what God was doing. He wasn't praying for anybody. People were getting healed here, there, all over the house. And suddenly everybody was standing on their feet praising and worshiping God. And Sherry and I were over here on that third row praising and worshiping God. And I heard myself say, Father, in the name of Jesus, my stomach. When I said those words, it was like someone took a bottle of warm oil and poured over the top of my head, went down through my body and out through my feet. I had no idea what God had done until we got home that night. And I ate the first full meal I'd eaten in 6 years. We discovered what God had done. That night, God gave me a creative miracle. I have a stomach in this body that the surgeon removed, but God put it back. And he put it back healed. Why? Because he wanted me to have a testimony of his faithfulness. And so when the enemy comes and he begins to attack me, I remind him, you tried to kill me when I was a baby. You tried to destroy me when they had to remove my stomach. You tried to make me weak and unhealed and unhealthy. But God gave me a miracle. And I like to say it this way, the God who did it before is the God who's going to do it again. You see, that is the testimony. And so God has given us weapons. We have the name of Jesus. We have the Word of God. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the testimony. But do we have anything else? Can I tell you, we do? When I was over in Ephesians with you a few moments ago, I quoted to you verse 17, but verse 18, it says, I'm praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, same person to me. I just switch them back and forth. I don't have any problem about semantics here. But I want to tell you, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a part of your power against the enemy. God has given it to you, but he said praying in the Spirit. Do you pray in tongues? Do you speak in tongues? I want to tell you something. That is also a weapon against the enemy. That's why Satan hates it so much. That's why so many pastors and teachers and preachers around the world have spent time coming against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't say you were going to hell. No. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you really don't have access to the power of God that he wants you to have. God wants you to have that access. And I have discovered that whenever I pray in the Spirit, things happen. I pray in tongues. I speak in tongues. And so we have the name of Jesus, the Word of God. We've got the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony. And we can even pray in the Spirit. Are there any other weapons that we have? Yes, we did something with some of those weapons this morning in Psalm 47. Beginning at verse 1 and going all the way, almost all the way through that. It says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And then it talks about singing praises to God. Sing praises. I want to tell you, when we praise God, that's a weapon against the enemy. Do you praise God? Well, I heard you this morning. I heard the praise and worship team. I heard John back there on the drums. I heard all of that. I participated in all of that. Now, I didn't know all your songs, so sometimes I had to try to read and try to talk at the same time, and sometimes it didn't work too good, but I was praising with you. You know what? I've discovered that when we praise God, things happen. Why? When you go to Psalm 47 and you begin to read, it talks about how that he begins to fight for us. Don't ever underestimate the power of your praise, the power of your worship. Because when you begin to praise God, you release that power. Now, I've given you about 6 or 7 weapons there, haven't I? We've got the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony. We've got our praise, our speaking in tongues, and our praise and worship. I think that's 6 of them. Can I give you one more? I want you to turn in your Bible now. I've just been sharing scripture with you, and yes, it was on the back of your bulletin. But I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. Timothy, we have no idea how old he was, but he and Titus were evidently young men. In fact, Paul says to Timothy in this very letter, do not give anybody a reason to despise you because you're young. And then he gives a tremendous teaching to Timothy right after that, right after he acknowledged that he was a young man. So here is this young minister. I remember when I was a young minister. I was 15 years old. God called me to preach. I went to my Baptist pastor and I told him, I said, God spoke to me, and God spoke to me audibly. I didn't believe God spoke that way, but he spoke to me audibly. I went home one night after leading praise and worship in a youth revival and walked into the house, turned the light on Sunday night. My mother and dad and my sister were not there, but I turned the light on and walked back toward my bedroom. When I walked past the bathroom, I want to tell you, God's got a sense of humor. I walked past the bathroom. I heard a voice out of the bathroom said, I've not only called you to sing my word, I've called you to preach my word. I stopped and looked in the bathroom to see who was in there. Yeah, nobody was there, but I heard it with my ear. I went to my Baptist pastor the next morning, and I told him what God had said. And you know what he did? He looked at me and he said, well, if God's called you to preach Wednesday night, you're going to preach. I went home and wrote 10 pages of notes and preached for 7 minutes, and I was finished. But I want to tell you, it was a beginning. And so here's this young man, Timothy. And he says to Timothy in verse 18, this charge or this command I give to you, son Timothy. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. In 1973, when God baptized us in the Holy Spirit, I believed in three ministries. I believed in the evangelist. That's why I'm using my hand here. I used the hand to talk about the ministries. I believed in the evangelist. I believed in the pastor. I believed in the teacher. No apostles and prophets. But in Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle Paul said, we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We got baptized in the Holy Spirit on Saturday the 10th of March, on Tuesday the 20th of March, and a week and a half later, we heard that there was going to be a prophet in a little Baptist church up at Macomb, Mississippi. I didn't believe in prophets yet. Had no idea that that was coming, but I was curious. So Sherry and I got in the car and drove through a storm up there to Macomb, Mississippi, and we went in planning to sit on the front row. I'm a front row Christian. I want to be under the spout where the glory pours out. If the preacher spits, I want him to hit me because I might get more of the anointing. No, I'm just kidding there. But at the same time, I want to tell you, we went into that place, and the front rows were occupied, but there were two seats right here where Sister Claudia is sitting, and right next to her. I sat where she sat. Sherry sat there. I'd never heard anybody preach like him. I think he drew a circle on the floor and threw a fit in it. For about 45 minutes, just as fast as he could talk. I'm not copying him. He's not me, I'm not him. God uses us differently. But that man preached, and when he got through, he came down off the pulpit right to me and began to tell me all the things I'd been saying to God in my prayer time. And he began to talk about the call of God on my life. Well, I'm smart. You know, I've got a doctor's degree in theology. I got all these things you can hang on the wall, you know, but I heard somebody say one time, you can have all the degrees in the world, but if you don't have any temperature, you can't do anything. Hallelujah. I want the temperature of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I'm the smart guy. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him prophesy to me. And I'm saying to myself, somebody told him I'm a Baptist preacher. Somebody told him I just received the Holy Spirit. Somebody told him that, and he just says the same thing to everybody. How wrong I was. But then he turned to Sherry sitting right next to me. And he said this. He said, I've saved the best for last. And she is the best. Hallelujah. And he started telling us what we had done the night before. We'd been married 8+ years. 3 children. We were blessed. I want to tell you that that man stood there and told us what we had done the night before, because we went into our bedroom. We got down on our knees beside of the bed and re-said our marriage vows to each other and asked the Holy Spirit to make our marriage the best it could be. And he said to her, I saw you when you and your husband made new marriage vows to me, says the Lord. Told us what we had said, what we'd done. That got my attention. Well, that church didn't even have a PA system. Thank God we got a PA system today. They didn't have a recorder that belonged to the church. But one little woman had a little Panasonic Model 309. I never will forget it. Little cassette recorder. And she came. What was that? Everybody, yeah. They carried them to meetings everywhere. Anyway, she had that little recorder. She came to me and she said, would you like a copy of that prophecy? I said, absolutely. I gave her our address. She didn't send me the audio copy. She sent me a handwritten copy. And when we got it, that's when I understood what God had said. That God said that I was a prophet. That prophecy was in my mouth. And that I was going to be a prophet in my life. Said a lot of other things too. And every one of them has come to pass. Well, I didn't know how to be a prophet. I knew how to say yea, verily, but I don't preach that way. So that didn't help me a bit. And so anyway, I didn't go start standing up prophesying to people. I went back to my Baptist church. I went back to being pastor. One day, the phone rang. My secretary said to me, she said, there's somebody who wants to talk to you. He hadn't given me his name. And so I picked up my phone. The voice on the other end says, are you the Eugene May that we've heard about that's baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I'm Father So-and-so from the Catholic Church in St. Francisville, Louisiana. Would you come and teach us? I want to tell you, in South Louisiana, where I lived, there were 2 types of people. There were a few Methodists around, but there's most of them were Baptists and Catholics. And we did not fellowship together. We did not go to the same meetings together. We didn't hardly give each other the time of day unless we were on the same political party. But that was about it. And I said, yes, sir, I'll do that. He said, I want you to come teach on the Holy Spirit. Friday night came. I was standing in the Catholic church, not in the auditorium, because, see, I'm not an ordained Catholic priest. I can't stand behind that desk. But we went into the fellowship hall, and it was packed. As I was preaching, God showed me a woman right where Rachel is sitting. I got your name right? Right where Rachel's sitting. And began to tell me things about her. Well, you see, I'm one of those decent and in order guys. You know what that means? I want to do everything decently and in order. The Bible tells me to do that. And I've discovered God's decently and in order is not always man's. Not always even mine. But see, I was one of these decent and in order guys. And I said, okay, God, if this is you, and if what you just said about this lady is true, when we get through ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all of these other things, then you bring it back and I'll say it. That's what God did. I finished the message teaching on the Holy Spirit. We prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they did. People speaking in tongues everywhere, people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost in that place. And then God said, remember what I said to this woman. So I said, and I didn't yet, I still don't say, yea, verily the Spirit of the Lord doth saith unto thee. It's just not my language. And so I just said, sister, in plain English, this is what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say to you. I started saying it. She started crying. I heard this little voice in my ear. And that little voice said to me, don't you ever do that again. You're not a prophet. You see, you just hurt her feelings. She's over there crying because of what you said. You know, she wasn't crying about what I was saying to her. It hurt. She was crying because God healed her with that word. He took that word and he set her free. Now, this is what I did. I had already read 1 Timothy 1:18, where Paul says, Timothy, I want you to take the prophecies that you have received and with those prophecies wage a good warfare. And so while the enemy was speaking in my ear, trying to bring condemnation against me, I was speaking inside to him, devil, you are a liar. I have the word of the Lord. God has called me as a prophet, and I'm going to be that prophet that he's called me to be. So bug off. I mean, that's what I was saying inside. And I want to tell you, he left. He left. Now, he's come back and tried again. But I want to tell you this, that God, when he speaks prophetically to you, he is not just giving you information that you need, but he is giving you a weapon of war against the enemy. When the enemy comes against me, I use what God has spoken to me. I quote the prophet. Now, I want to give you an example. I'm going to finish this message. 1996, Cali, Colombia, South America. I was preaching in a church called Amor y Fe, Love and Faith. We had 7 services on Sunday. I want to tell you, I preached myself happy that day. 7 services. And we got to the 7th one, and I was in trouble. I was bleeding. Had no idea what was going on. If I'd have paid attention, I probably would have known. But, I'm one of these guys. I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm all, I say that about myself because I believe it. All right, now. So here I was. That 7th service, I was bleeding. When I got home on Wednesday night that week, I told Sherry what was happening. I said, what do you think I ought to do? She said, if it was me, you'd tell me, let's go check it out and see what the problem is. Next morning on Thursday, I went to a clinic. I couldn't get an appointment, so I went to one of the open clinics. Doctor checked me, said, do you know a surgeon? I said, well, yeah, I do know one. So she called and made an appointment. I went and he told me, all right, prepare for a colonoscopy. Because tomorrow morning, we're going to check. That next morning, I went him and he said, well, here's what the pictures say. You've got colon cancer. And he said, I've got a operating room waiting right now. Don't even go home. You're prepared. You'd have to go home and prepare again. That preparation, some of you know, you don't like. And so I went directly to the hospital. It was cancer. that took out part of my colon and then said, "We're sorry. That cancer spread through your body." Well, I want to tell you something. 1 month before, I was in Iberville, Quebec in Canada, French church. Got through with the entire week. We started on Sunday morning and ended on Sunday night the next week, 8 days later. When we got through with that last service, the pastor invited Sherry and me up in front. They got some of the leaders of the church around us and began to pray for us. And one of the men began to prophesy to me. And I want to tell you, I did not like his prophecy. Because this is what he said. He said, "You're about to go through the greatest trial you've ever had. It's a matter of life and death." And I didn't speak French. I speak French now. I didn't speak it then. And so I did not understand everything, but the wife of the pastor, who was an American, French speaking, was translating in my ear, and I didn't like what she was translating. Just before I woke up from the anesthetic, this is what God said to me. He said, "First, you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Second, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And third," he said, "and remember the prophecy I gave to you in Iberville, Quebec." You see, God had given me that prophecy. Because I didn't give you the whole prophecy a moment ago. I didn't tell you everything the man said. But he said, "You shall not die, you shall live, and you will declare the works of the Lord." That was the part I left out a few moments ago. And whenever I came out from under that anesthetic, I came out believing God. Believing the prophet. Because God had given me a word. And when they told me that prophet, that cancer had spread through my body, I knew they were right. The doctor was right. But I also knew that the prophet was right. And I held on to that prophecy. And now that was 1996. This looks to me like coming on 25 more years. No cancer. Totally healed. Walking in health. A little overweight. But because, you see, I chose to believe what God said. Now, I want to tell you, I did one more thing. I called the pastor. I had Sherry, in fact, do this. Call the pastor in Quebec and tell that man he was right, because they had rebuked him for giving a false prophecy. And when I got up there the next time, standing before that church, I got him up in front of the church, and I apologized to him for saying that it was a false prophecy. Because that's what I had said when they said, "Is he right? Are you about to go through something like that?" See, it wasn't according to my belief, but it was God. And God had prepared me. And I used that to fight the good fight of faith. Now I want to ask you, what has God spoken to you? That's great, sir. Spoken a lot to you. What's God spoken to you? I could come to each one of you and I could ask that question. And some of you probably have never had God speak to you. God has never said anything to you. But yet others will say, "But God has said this and this and this. What have you done with it?" What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, "I want you to take those prophetic words that you had received," and he says prophecies plural there. He says, "I want you to take them, and I want you to fight the good fight of faith." Praise God. Amen. That's fine. Amen. That's amen. Well, you just do that. That's what God wants. I want to spend some time now. I want to speak prophetically to some of you today. I don't know that we'll speak to everybody because I realize that we're already past 12:35. All right. Pastor just said keep going. So I'm gonna let it roll, okay? Whatever God wants to do, we're going to let him do it. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord's here. And whatever God says to you, just like what God said to this man here when he died and was brought back, it's not your time. That's the kind of thing that God wants you to receive, and then he wants you to take action with it. You see, whenever I received that first word of prophecy, I didn't know how to deal with it except just to receive it, especially when he talked to my wife. But I had to do it, and I had to do it God's way, and God opened the door. And I appreciate that testimony, my friend. Hallelujah. My sister right here, what is your name? Say again. First name? I guess I'm not hearing it. Put my anointing within her life. And I have called her to stand as a woman of faith, and that she's going to walk in the faith that I have given her. And she's going to see that the words that I have spoken to her are words of life and words of power. And I am going to touch her, and I am going to minister through her. The words that you will speak will be words of life also. Because God's put a prophetic anointing within you, and he wants you to receive that, my sister. And so it's Bray. Is that right? I got that now. Hallelujah. You receive that. A word of encouragement for you. Hallelujah. Are you married? You're engaged. Is he here? Is that him right back there? Hallelujah. What's your name, sir? Dalton, like Dalton, Georgia. Dalton, I want to say this to you. I have a word for you anyway, and so I'm going to go ahead and share this. I didn't know that the two of you were together. But the Spirit of the Lord said to my heart while I was speaking today, just like he said to Bray, he says, I have put my hand on this young man, and he pointed to you back there. And he said, what I have done is I have separated him to myself for my glory. And I'm going to cause him to stand as a young man of faith and a young man of power. And that he's going to speak my word. And the nations are going to be opened to him. And he will go and he will minister the things of the Spirit. And I hope you're listening to this, Bray. Because you see the prophetic anointing in you, and with the anointing that God has put within this young man, are going to flow together. And the Spirit of the Lord said that he's going to open nations to you. And you're going to see God lead you step by step. I don't know you. I don't know either one of you. But I know that God is working within your lives, putting the things within your lives that are necessary. And God wants you to receive that, my friend. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. John, the drummer back there, and your wife is sitting there next to you. I met you earlier, but I don't remember her name. Rhonda? Rhonda. Okay. John, before we were setting levels and testing, and I was singing a song, and you were playing the drums with me. And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to my heart while that was happening. And I remember what he said. He said, this man is a man that I can trust. You hear what I said? You know, we don't hear things like that from God very often. But this is a man that I can trust. I've put him in position for my glory. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to touch him and I'm going to touch his family. And I'm going to cause them to be a family of believers to the extent that they will see the miraculous. They will see the continual operation of my spirit. And God wants you to understand that his hand is upon the two of you. Yes, you're a tremendous drummer, and I appreciated what I heard this morning. But I want to tell you, you also have an integrity about you that God is going to use. And the Lord wants you to understand that he has put that in you for his glory and for his honor. And my sister, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You have an ability to lead other people. You have an ability to not just give suggestions, but guidance. And God is going to use you. You have a counselor's mentality, yes, but you have a counselor's heart, and God is going to use you in his church to minister to people. When I met you back there, the Spirit of the Lord spoke those things to me, and I didn't even know that the two, well, I guess you did say that you were the drummer's wife, but I did not know that that moment that the two of you were together. So God bless you. You have a great, great future ahead in the things of the Spirit of God. My brother that was leading the praise and worship, remind me of your name, James. James, there's been opposition. I'm not talking about opposition from people here in the church or anything like that, but there's been opposition in the sense of what the enemy would speak to you about your abilities or lack of abilities, all of those things. And those are some of those accusations that I talked about whenever I talked about the accuser of the brethren. I want to tell you something. When you were leading praise and worship with Rachel, is that right? Got that? When the two of you were leading, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to my heart. And he said, this man will write things that will transverse the nation. God wants you to be, I'm going to have to say it this way, God wants you to be more outspoken concerning the things that he gives you. You walk in humility, and that's great. But there is something that God wants you to understand, that yes, humility is absolutely necessary in your walk. But humility does not deny the anointing that God has given you. And so you are anointed, not just for the praise and worship, but for writing the songs of God. And I don't know where these songs came from that we sang today. I've never heard any of those songs, not a one of them. And they may have come from you, but it doesn't matter. God's anointing is upon you to write the songs of heaven. And your anointing is going to make a way for you, my friend. The anointing that is in you is going to open the doors that are necessary for you. And God says to you today that I have placed within you a heart of praise and a heart of worship. But don't take it as the final thing. Because just as God spoke to me, not only did he say to me, I've called you to sing my word, but he said, I've called you to preach my word. You're going to preach the word. And you're going to be in many ways like what I have done in my life, where you carry the instrument with you, and you go and you stand and you worship God, and then you minister the things of the Spirit of God. And God is going to use you because there's a calling of an evangelist upon your life. And, you know, I don't even know anything about you. I don't know if you're married or not. I have no idea about that. But I want to tell you, the anointing of God is upon your life, and the calling of God is upon your life. You receive that, and you're going to watch people receive not only the music, but you're going to watch them receive the word that you minister, and they are going to be set free because of that. You receive that, my friend. God bless you. Hallelujah. I like God. He is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate what he does and what he has done. The young man sitting back here on the next to the back row, black shirt right here. Brian? Bryce. Okay. Well, don't get old. Hallelujah. Some of you probably haven't even seen them, but I've got some little things to help me here, and they still don't work perfectly. Hallelujah. But anyway, Bryce, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you too. I kept looking back here and seeing you stand on the earth and that earth moving under you. And I wanted to share this with you because this is what the Holy Spirit said to my heart. He said, I am breaking opposition. I am breaking things that would want to say, no, you can't. I'm breaking everything that would try to resist the move of God within your life. God's hand is upon you, and he is taking you and using you as a young man of faith right now. He's teaching you step by step, day by day. And God wants you to take what he is teaching you and use it. And God is going to begin to cause other young people to come and say, let's pray. Let's minister to the Lord together. Let's give God an opportunity in our lives. And you're going to be a leader. You're going to be one that's going to be raised up. And I want to tell you that your teaching anointing will be the thing that will open the doors for you. God's hand is upon you. You will teach the Word of God. You will minister the Word of God. And that anointing of teacher, which, you know, I spoke about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher today for a moment, that teaching anointing is so important because people need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And God is going to raise you up at that. You're not ready for that yet. I know that. But God is preparing you. And you receive it. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Ron, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, my friend. When I saw you last night, you were actually standing in front of the restaurant. We were pulling by, and I held my hand up, and you waved at me. We were a few minutes late. That's a long story we won't go into. But anyway, when I saw you, the Spirit of the Lord said, what I'm going to do is light a fire. I'm going to light a fire not only again in his own life, and that fire hasn't gone out, no. But he said, I'm going to light a fire in his own life, but I'm going to use him to light a fire in the lives of people because I have called him as a prophet. I've called him to stand as a prophet in my church. I have put a prophetic anointing and calling upon his life where he is going to be able to hear the voice of God, recognize that voice, and speak the things that God says to him. And God wants you to understand that this is your purpose. This is what's going to happen. And they're going to say, send us a prophet. And you'll go. But you'll go sent from this house. That therefore you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to do the things that you need to do with the prophetic anointing. God bless you. My sister Claudia, I know a few things about you and only things that either your son or you have told me because we met you as we came in today and your son bragged on you last night. He did. He bragged on his mom. Is that all right? But Sister Claudia, this is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord say this morning when we came in the building. I came in the building and said hello, and you came out of the back. We were alone here in the auditorium at the moment. But when you came in, the Spirit of the Lord and began to speak to me. This is what I heard him say. He said, she has been a part of that which has plowed the ground. You were a part of a team with your husband to, like the turning plow, breaking the soil, turning it over, getting it prepared for the seed. And for years, yes, the seed was poured into the ground, but you've not seen the fullness of what God could do. You've seen just like a foretaste. You've seen just a taste of the things that God can do. But you're getting ready to receive the harvest that you had planted for all of those years. You're going to see the harvest because God is doing a new work in this house. He is doing a new work through your son. He is doing things that dad and mom never were able to accomplish in the fullness. But God wants you to know it's because you planted the seed. It's because you fertilized and nourished the ground and you prepared everything. And God wants you to understand that this is a time of seeing Him bring forth the things that you've only seen in vision so far. But God is honoring that step in your life. And I want to speak to your son and to his wife. Pastor, yeah, go ahead and stand. It's all right. Last night at supper, yes, we were talking. We were having a good time. We were talking about experiences and this and that and the other, but the Spirit of the Lord was also speaking to me. And this is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord say. He has been on the potter's wheel. He's been on the potter's wheel. And all of those years when you were simply the son, among how many, three more sons, something like that. But when you were simply the son and the youngest, the Spirit of the Lord was preparing you on the potter's wheel. And there were times that it seemed that God just stopped the wheel, took his finger, went into the clay and pulled out the rock or the stone that had found its way into the clay, and then he started it again. And sometimes you felt like he had pushed it down and started over. God never started over with you. God was bringing you through the process to make the vessel that he wanted to be in his house. And the Spirit of the Lord has made you a man not only formed in the image of Jesus. And by the way, church, I want to tell you that that's the will of God for every one of you. I don't even have to speak prophetically to you to tell you that the will of God is for you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so he has been forming you in that image. And God has gotten you through that process now where he is saying, look at the vessel that I've created. And God has done this over the years. And yes, there was discipline. Yes, there were times that it was not comfortable. But God brought you through it. And God is honoring that in you today. But the Spirit of the Lord said this. He said, and I had not been in these doors. I did not know anything about this building or how many people you have in your congregation or anything. That was not even a part of our conversation really last night. The Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, what I have launched, and it was almost like a new beginning, but he said, what I have launched, it's going to sail. And it's going to be that which will be picking up the souls of people. And I'm going to build my house. And I'm going to increase my house. And they will serve the Lord. And God is getting ready to increase the house. This boat will float. Amen. And Rachel, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I need to say something to you, Rachel, that God spoke whenever I realized who you were this morning. He said, there have been times that she's wondered what the future holds. She's wondered about the things that they've done and how it all fits into the pattern. But what God said to me, he said, I have made a mosaic. You know what a mosaic is? Where it's made of all different kinds of clay pieces. And he said, I've made a mosaic. And this church is going to be a mosaic. It's going to be made up of people, red, yellow, black, and white, purple, polka dot, whatever it is that you see. You're going to see God bring a mosaic. And he has put you and Claudia, don't think take this wrong. He's put you as a new mother figure in the house. And people are going to begin to see you in that position. And you're going to be able to love with that kind of love, that kind of compassion. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you for that. And you receive it, my sister. God's hand is upon you. Hallelujah. Now, you know why I said that? Because you have been in that position and you're going to still be there in that position. But God is raising her up in the eyes and understanding of the people in this house. My sister right here, what is your name? Courtney. Courtney, when I was back here speaking to him a moment ago, the Spirit of the Lord kept saying to me, warrior, mighty warrior, warrior, mighty warrior. And this is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord say. He said, I am teaching my daughter to make war. Not against people, but against the enemy and his forces. You have an intercessor's voice. And that voice will not always be heard in the house, will not always be one that everybody looks to, but it's an intercessor's voice because God will hear it. And God will use you to fight battles in the spirit that others would not even spend the time of day. They would say, hey, that's no use. But you don't turn loose. I remember when I was a kid, they used to teach a joke about the snapping turtle. You know, if he bites, he won't let go till it thunders. But God brought that old thing that was an old wives' tale, really, back to me when I stood here a moment ago. And he said to me, she will not turn loose of what she is believing God for. You receive this. A word of encouragement for you. Your life is an open book. Your life is an open book, and people are going to see the hand of God moving within you in those ways. My friend here, tell me your name again. Rick and Sandy. Yeah, I said I will try to remember that and didn't. Rick and Sandy. Rick, when I see you, and I'm walking back up here for a purpose. Rick, when I see you, come here, Pastor. Stand here beside me. When I see you standing like I am here. I see you putting your arm around this man. And I see you then fixing armor on him. God has created you like an armor bearer, preparing for war. And when that leader stands, he has on all of that armor. And we could go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read about it. But he has on all that armor because someone bore that armor and said, "You're getting ready for war. Now let's put it on." I see that in you. That you're like an armor bearer for this man. And that you're going to stand beside him. And you're going to uphold the things that he does. You're going to uphold the decisions that he makes. And God has given you a strong right arm. And that's this woman's Sandy right here. And the two of you are going to stand together in the house of God. And you're going to stand not always in the limelight, because the armor bearer never really was the one that everybody looked to. They looked to the leader. They looked to the king. They looked to the pastor. They looked to that place. But God wants you to understand that he has put you in a place in this man's life and in the church life where you will not always be seen. You'll not always make a stir. You'll not always have something to say, but you will always get him and other leaders prepared for the things that God has. God's hand is upon both you. And Sandy, the wisdom of God is within you. When he introduced himself up here and you were standing there, I think at the time, I think I was sitting down and he just introduced himself and introduced you. The Spirit of the Lord began to talk about the wisdom. The wisdom of God that he has placed within your life. And that you are going to be able to speak that wisdom. Not only in times of crisis. Oh, that's when we really need it, isn't it, Pastor? But in times when everything looks so good, God's going to show you his plans. And show you any pitfalls. The wisdom of God is upon you. Also, the healing hand of God is upon you, Sandy. I don't know where that's at in your life. But there's a healing hand upon you. And you receive that. God bless you. The young man back over there with Jesus Freak. Oh, I like that shirt. Hallelujah. I don't see a freak, but I see Jesus. And I hope you understand that. But, yeah, I've been that all my life, too. But I want to tell you what God just said to me. I looked back there and I saw that again. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I want to minister to him. I want to talk to him. Are you two related? Are you his son? Are you his wife? Okay. All right. I see the head shaking. No. See, I don't know who belongs to who. You know, unless somebody tells me or the Holy Spirit tells me and he hasn't said anything. But I want to tell you, young man, what's your name? Vincent. Vincent, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Your abilities have just now begun to take shape. Your abilities have just now begun to come to the surface. Have you started playing the guitar yet? You're playing any instrument yet? None? You're behind time, my friend. Now, the reason I'm saying that, I'm not saying that to bring condemnation or anything. But that anointing is within you. The music of heaven is within you. And God is preparing you. So let him do so. Just a word of advice from me. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon you also. There'll be a day. I spoke this to Ron a few minutes ago, and when I walked back here and I saw that again, the Lord said, remember what I said to Ron. There'll be a day that the prophetic anointing will begin to come forth. And you will stand and prophesy the things of the Spirit of God. You're not there yet, but you will be. And you will remember this word, that you will stand and you will prophesy the word of the Lord. And His hand will be upon you and be released through you. God bless you. Now I want to come back to this young lady here. Say, I don't know who belongs to who. What's your name? Rebecca. That's a beautiful name. Has very special meaning and share in my life. But Rebecca, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me when I was asking those questions a moment ago. And this is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord say. He said, my daughter, and that's you, Rebecca, is in the house of preparation. That's a very important thing, and I need to share this with the whole congregation just for a moment. Remember Esther? Esther, along with a lot of other young women in Babylon, not only Jewish young women but others, were brought together to present to the king as a new bride, and he was going to pick from among them. That place where they brought them together was called the House of Preparation. It was the time of beautification. It was a time of being prepared, almost like a young girl would be prepared for a beauty pageant. And I'm sure it was very similar to that. But when I said that you're in the House of Preparation, that God is moving and working within you. And He's preparing your life for the next steps. I don't know your age. I don't know anything about you. And you got a mask on, so I don't see your natural beauty. All right. But I see what God has put within your heart. You have the heart like Esther, who would serve God no matter what. And God has put that within you. That's a zeal that He's put within your heart. And so, Rebecca, the hand of God is upon your life. And you're in the house of preparation where God's putting all the pieces in order. He's getting everything ready for His glory. And you receive that. Be encouraged. I don't know all the ins and outs in the sense of the destiny of this. But I want you to know that you're being prepared as a bride. God bless you. Amen. God is so good, isn't He? I really appreciate our God. Hallelujah. My friend here, what's your name, sir? Don. I got it right? Don, you sat there. And every time I'd walk by, the Spirit of the Lord said, I have a word for it. But I hadn't heard anything yet. It's one of those things where I know I've got a word, but what that word is, I don't know yet. But I do now. Spirit of the Lord said this to my heart. He said, I want you to tell this man that the evil report has nothing to do with him. That sounded so strange to me. The evil report has nothing to do with him. I don't know what you've heard. I don't know what anyone has said. I don't know. It could have been a doctor. It could have been a lawyer. It could have been anything. But the evil report has nothing to do with you. Because God is your healer and your provider. And he kept saying to me as I came back up this time, he said, I want you to tell him that I'm setting him free from the words that have been spoken. I am setting him free because I know who I created him to be. I know what I have placed inside of him. And I am causing him to stand as a man of faith and a man of power. Do you speak another language? What language? Okay, I got you. I understand. I was wondering if you spoke another natural language like Spanish or French or anything like that. Because I keep hearing you speaking and other people understanding it in their language. And I don't understand all of that. I don't understand everything that happened on the day of Pentecost either. But I want to tell you that God is going to give you inroads to minister to people that you never dreamed of. God bless you, my friend. Hallelujah. My sister over here. I think that's such a cute shirt. I run on Jesus and insulin. I'm supposed to pray for you. Tell me your name again.
Cindy.
Cindy. Father, as I take her hand, Lord, I see her shirt and I know that it's an amusing thing, and I enjoy laughing with her about that, and I know the circumstance now, and I know that she, yes, has to have insulin. But Lord, I just want you to do everything necessary in her physical body. Lord, we speak life. I speak life right now. That you are touching Cindy. You're causing her to be blessed today. And that you're honoring her stand on Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Cindy, I want to tell you what God said to me while I was praying that prayer. He said, tell her this. Write the things that are on your heart. I don't know if you use a laptop or use a computer or anything. You write with... Yeah, he said, you tell her, write it. Because she's going to look back and she's going to see how that she's expressed my heart as well as her heart. Yeah, you write the things that you feel, but you're going to be expressing the heart of the Father. You write it. You'll look back and see how God has led you step by step. Okay, God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My sister sitting right there. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Again, I don't know you, but I know what God said to me. He said, I'm taking the broken and I'm putting it all together. I'm taking the brokenness that she's experienced and I'm putting it all together. Because I am going to bring her out into the joys of her God. I'm going to cause her to begin to rejoice as she never has in her life. Oh, you've rejoiced in the Lord. You've praised, you've worshiped. But the Lord said it's a new thing. Because I am working on the inside. And I am causing everything to be done my way in her life. I don't know the circumstance of your life. But the Lord says I'm putting it all together. And that she's going to see how that every event has brought her to a place in my glory, where I will be glorified through her life. Just a word of encouragement for you. God is moving, even in the midst of the circumstances that you've been facing. God bless you. I want to minister to this couple. Hallelujah. Tell me your name again.
David Newman
and Brenda. David, I appreciate your testimony a while ago. I really do. And the Spirit of the Lord said to my heart, if anybody needs to leave, you're welcome, but we'll be here a few more minutes. Spirit of the Lord said to me while you were talking that you have experienced life, renewed life. And I believe, let me just talk right now. I believe what you said, and I receive it. But you have received life. And God wants you to be able to share the story. These are the types of things that the next generation needs to hear. Some of them won't believe, but many will. And God is wanting you to be able to say and do the things that will take that testimony and will cause it to be in the lives of other people. And that's what I appreciate very much. And I want to encourage you. That word, that testimony that you have, is unique. Very few of us have ever heard the Lord speak to us like that. And that's right. And I appreciate that. There'll be a day you will see his face, my friend. But you, Brenda, I believe, and I'm going to tell you what I believe here, that God showed me while he was speaking, that the two of you are going to be able to write what happened. And I don't know if you've already done that or not, but it needs to be written so that some people who can't hear you like I heard you today will be able to take it and say, this man is a miracle. This man is a miracle bearer. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. Can you receive that, my friend? I appreciate what you said.
He told me to take watch upon Paul. Paul's going to have a mighty church here.
Yes.
He has got things to do. And he is not a preacher. He is a teacher. Same thing as Jesus was.
Amen. All right. Amen. Did you hear that, Paul?
Yes, I did.
All right. Praise God. Amen. God is so good. My friend right here, my brother. Travis? Is he your dad? Or your grandfather? Okay. Travis? Sometimes God says things to me that brings up things that my grandmother used to say. My grandmother used to say, whenever I'd say, is my hair combed? Is my shirt ironed? And she'd say, nobody would ever pay any attention on a galloping horse. Because that's what I was. I was like a galloping horse. The reason why I'm saying that, and it may seem ridiculous, but the Spirit of the Lord has been saying to me, this man's life has been a life of different scenes. And sometimes very fast things happen. Sort of like on that galloping horse. But the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, all of these things that have been turned upside down. And there's an expression, I guess you guys know it here in Florida, topsy-turvy, where something is just upside down, upside down, upside down. Those things are going to be made right side up. And in these years that are ahead, you're going to see the glory of God upon your family like you've never seen it before. And you're going to see the work of God, not only in your grandchildren, but in your own children, like you've never seen before. God is taking all of the pieces of the puzzle, I'm telling you how God said it to me, and he's putting them all together, and you're going to see the beauty of what he has done within your lives, and you receive that. God bless you. Amen. Amen. My sister back here, you're sitting beside that young man that is engaged to this young lady right over here. What's your name? Cindy? Sid? Denise. All right. All right. That's my ears. Hallelujah. Denise. Denise, God's hands upon you too. God's lifting you. You have known what it is to bear the burden. You've known what it is to have things come apart and just bear down on you. And you know what it is to be a burden bearer. But the Spirit of the Lord said that's yesterday. That's not today's news. Because God is moving within you. And God is moving within your circumstance to bring joy and peace. And I'm going to add another one, prosperity. Joy, peace, and prosperity into your life. Suffering time is over. It's now time to see and watch the joy be built within you. God's hands upon you, young lady, and you be blessed. Amen. PJ? Paul Jr. That's what that means, right? That's what your dad said. PJ, as you came in and we were just hooking things up and experimenting and all of that, Spirit of the Lord said to my heart, he said, I'm going to use this young man. His desire has been to be used of me. I'm going to use him. I'm going to encourage you. You get ready for that. This pandemic that we've been dealing with is going to be over. And the doors to the nations of the world are going to open again. And God wants you to understand that all the things that have happened, including your learning to speak Spanish, all of that is going to be used of God. Your heart, I hate to say this, Pastor, but your heart's not here. Oh, you're here. And while you're here, you have a heart for the people. But your heart is in the nations of the world. Your heart is touching the nations. We used to call them missionaries. I guess we still do. But that's the calling that's on your life. You're not married yet, are you? Well, when that happens, it'll be on her life too. Because you'll have the same vision, the same dream, the same goal, the same purpose. And God wants you to understand that he's got you very much like what I spoke to Rebecca back here. He's got you very much in a house of preparation. And God is getting ready to release it. In Jesus' name. You receive that. Hallelujah. My sister, God has not forgotten the covenant that he has with you. What's your name? Joan? Joan, God has not forgotten the covenant that he's made with you. I don't know all of your background. I don't know all of the circumstances, of course. I have no way of doing that unless God reveals it. But the Spirit of the Lord said to my heart, he says, I made covenant with my daughter. And that covenant I have not forgotten and I will not break. Because I am going to bring back opportunities into her life that she has felt, well, I had the opportunity, but no, God says, I'm going to bring them back. Because the hand of the Lord has been upon you. The anointing to teach, not just to listen to other people teach, but the anointing to teach is upon you. And I'm going to tell you what I saw. And I don't know where you live, and I don't know the size of your house, and I don't know what your dining room table looks like. But I see a table with chairs around that table. And I see women sitting at that table, eating, drinking. But it's not natural food. It's spiritual food. And the drink is not natural drink. It's spiritual drink from the Word of God that is housed inside of you that's going to come out and minister. For years, my mother, as a good Baptist, taught women in her community. But she had received the Holy Spirit, so they got it too. But God wants you to understand, he's not forgotten the covenant. You receive that. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I know we've not ministered to everybody today. Maybe God will give us another opportunity. But this has been a blessing to me, and I believe a blessing to my wife, Sherry. And we just appreciate you so much. And if Ron and I hadn't shown up at the same conference together, and I was a speaker and he was an attender back in October, I would probably have never crossed your paths. But I want to tell you, I appreciate the opportunity of being here. It's been a blessing. And Sherry, would you like to say anything, darling? All right. Like I said, I know we've not ministered to everybody, but I believe God has ministered as he wants to today. Bless you, Pastor. You know who Samuel was, don't you? They probably told you that when you were just born. Yeah. And then they've told it to you many other times. Yes. Father, I want to thank you for Samuel. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have put your hand upon this young man. Father, I thank you that Samuel will walk in the steps of Samuel, the prophet of the Old Testament. But Lord, I thank you that he will be a New Testament prophet. And the Spirit of the Lord says to you, my son, what I have done is that I have put my glory upon you. And I have put my hand upon you for your future. And you're going to speak prophetically. You're going to speak the things of the Spirit of God. And others will hear and they will know that I have touched you and that I have called you as a prophet according to my name. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Prophecy, healings, and miracles will be the signs that will come forth from you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.